So this evening, I want us to, you know, by the special grace of God, wrap up a conversation we started on Sunday, and trust God to help us establish some truth that God would have us focus on. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we started talking about overcoming the wiles of the devil. Overcoming the wiles of the devil. And I started with helping us understand why we need to overcome. It's because we are born of God. It's in our fabric. And so that is the expectation that is measured to a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good evening, Papi. Can you say good evening, Papi? So that's the expectation that is measured to the child of God. Anyone that is born of God overcomes the world. So if you see anything that represents the world in front of you, you are to go into the overcoming mode. You know, like some of you have dark mode on your phone or maybe on the website you're visiting. If a website is not built for dark mode, you can't switch. Regardless of how much you desire that it will switch. But if they've baked it into the fabric of the website, if you just toggle the dark mode, you just let everything becomes fine again in another theme. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we don't yet know what you would look like. You know, by the time God puts you in front of that challenge and he puts a command on you, overcome that situation, you know, you become another person. You know, you become another person. You know, the way God has been taking the church, I mean our church, every season requires us to become another person so that we can overcome. Because in our fabric is embedded the overcoming spirit. Do you understand? So it would have been the normal outcome when people hear that we went through it and we were more than a conqueror. You understand? Like, it should get to that state where the discussion was, we knew that was going to be the outcome. Amen. You know, currently, a lot of us would like people to really talk about how we overcame as though they were not expecting us to overcome. You understand? But by the time we are very natural with overcoming, the one you would argue is when they would have bet that you were not going to overcome. Like, literally, if they place a bet that you will overcome, like, that's like the surest bet. Hallelujah. And so I said on Sunday that we need to overcome is a thing that God requires of us because we are born of God. We are born of God. And anyone that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Our faith. Hallelujah. And I said, you know, the devil is not so much, you know, like someone said, the devil knows the word of God, but he's stubborn. You know, imagine if he also just agreed and he let everything lie low. You know, it would have been fine. But he's also is a bad devil. He's very stubborn. So even a child of God that leaves the presence of God now, he will still tell the guy that, you know, did you go and buy bread? You know, and you're like, oh, God, I'm just coming from a glory moment. And yeah, he's just trying to wind you that Shomobido Dimbo. You understand? And so a lot of us, we will try to fight that is bringing us low. But yeah, that's who he is. He would never appreciate what we have. Whether because he lost in heaven, or is just destined to frustrate the children of God. So either ways, you know that devil is not so interested in you coming through with this word. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's a bad devil, and that's why he has schemes. He has strategies. He has, I said, wiles means schemes, strategies, and deceptions. Now, that's how devil invests himself. That's where he puts his resources. His resources are to ensure that men are held captive, are held bondage, and don't fulfill the will of God over their lives. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Ephesians 6. And let's just read where he talked about putting on the whole armor of God. You know, just to do like a small recap. Amen. Are you there? From verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so we said, you know, when we looked at Romans chapter 8 from verse 31 down to, I think, 36 or thereabout, or 37. No, I think to 39. Then we started looking at like some type of categorization of the wiles of the enemy. And we said the wiles of the enemy starts from, at least from this scripture, starts from accusation. And I think I said something that on Sunday, that the accusations are because he's the accuser of the brethren. And he does that day and what? And night. Like they invited him to the meeting happening in heaven, and he brought out accusation against what? Job. Amen. And so the devil uses accusation to prevent the children of God from overcoming. Now, there are real facts he's bringing to you. There are things that most likely happened to you or you made happen. But in the context of your walk with God, it's not the conversation. And so for... Is that like a speaker or something? Okay. Amen. So for the prophet Joshua, the devil was so much interested in hacking him down, you know. But the angel was interested in changing his garment. And so accusations are not natural. You know, even when it happens through a man, he has an intention. You know, accusations are not just accusations. They are being said, they are being powered or being propelled to ensure that you don't progress with God. Now, God and the devil knows that you have a covenant through Jesus Christ. And the devil is more interested in what you believe about what God and Jesus has done for you. So when he brings the accusation, he's now number one, which court do you think you have registered in? So is it his own court where he's able to give you a verdict? Or it's a court that belongs to Jehovah? And we emphasized in verse 32 of Romans 8 that God is the one that justifies, regardless of the accusations. And you know, we said when you are being accused, don't quickly say guilty as charged. And that's why we're going into the second wow, which is the world of condemnation. Before now, I was thinking both are actually the same, but I later found out that they are not the same. And it's even plain English. So the accusation is happening because they've not got into it. Nobody has agreed on anything. So they're saying, oh, we saw that you passed the street. And then you start saying, I didn't pass this street because I wanted to go through this street. I'm going to another street. And he said, oh, no, you passed through this street. Yeah, it's a fact I passed through the street. And so there was an accusation. Now, at that point, if you say guilty as charged, the enemy has a charge that he has raised that allegation or that accusation for. So it may be that maybe the guy wants to imprison you. Then he raises an accusation. So when that accusation is looked into, they bring in witnesses. People testify. Then at the end of the day, they will ask the accused, are you guilty or not guilty? Now, before a child of God would speak for himself, you should first of all know you have an advocate. More or less like your own lawyer that you brought to court. And so when a child of God is being accused, a child of God must not depend on his own wisdom to bail himself out. You know, you must not look within yourself like and try to rationalize how to escape the devil and say, oh, like what he's saying is really true. Like this thing is like locked up in the past. I wish it didn't come out. Blah, blah, blah. And you're trying to justify why you are not a good man. You know, like they were asking, I can't even remember his name, but he's one of the most prominent activists now in South Africa. Some of us might know him. So they were trying to accuse him for some of the things he did while he was young. And all he was just saying now is, I'm a good man now. Do you get? Now, he knows, and both the BBC reporter and both of them know that he did what he did. But his way out was that, let me try to prove to this guy that I am now a good man. See, child of God, you must always trust God that when the enemy raises accusation, you have the ear of the advocate. You have the ear of the advocate. And the outcome is going to be decided by your father, who is the judge. You know, Romans 8:32. It says, who is he that brings charge against God's elect? It is who justifies? It is God. It is God that justifies. So no matter how serious the accusation is, for a child of God, there's a way out because your father is the judge. Now, you know how many of us always say that wicked would always win a court case? You know why? I won't say it on air. We know why. Abi? Some of us don't know why. Or some of us know why. If you know why, raise up your hand. Okay. I believe you. He has a judge. Let me just put it that way. Yeah. So when you have a judge that is biased towards you, sitting over a case that is to get you to be guilty, then there's no, except you declare yourself guilty as charged. That's the only way the enemy would win. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this evening, I want us to, because we don't have time, I want us to look at condemnation. And if we have little time, we'll look at the last wow, which is the wow of separation. So this evening, I found out that they actually go in progression. That your battle with the enemy actually starts from accusation. Now, if your case has gotten to condemnation, those still in accusation are better than you. Because condemnation is worse than accusation. For condemnation, you are already at a point of verdict. Like there's already a certificate that has been offered to you that you are guilty. That's condemnation. Condemnation is not the same as accusation. For accusation, we've not gotten to a verdict. There has not been a verdict yet. But for condemnation, somebody has accepted a verdict. That's for condemnation. Amen. So for condemnation is that you've agreed to be unfit as a child of God. For condemnation, you've agreed a sense of disapproval. So when they say, who shall go for us? You know, how many of you have had this feeling that when they They say, let's go and evangelize. You don't want to go. Because you know you are capon in that area. You know. Now, for some of us that still go, we are being accused. You that when we're grinding pepper, you know how many of you have that feeling that you don't want to go and preach? Then somebody say, you that wanted to fetch water. You said I should not fetch water. You know, are you a Christian? You now want me to accept your... You know, those ones are still accusation level, but some people are already at the point of disqualification. You know, where God is saying that, I want to send you. And then you're saying that, God, I can't go. God, I can't go. This is the label on me. You remember the story of Gideon, right? Gideon has his own sense of disqualification. Amen. Okay, let's read some scriptures then. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 34. Thank you, Jesus. He says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It says here that if anyone will stand to condemn, God has done something in Christ that has resolved every condemnation. He said, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his intercessory work is what redeems every child of God from condemnation. Now, it's a twofold thing. The death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his current ministry, his intercessory ministry. Because he knows that the devil will leave us for a while. Let's go to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Because I want us to know that whatsoever wiles that the enemy will bring our way, there is victory already. That's why he said at the later part of Romans 8 that you are more than conqueror. Like victory is sure. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, the later part of this deals more with our daily conversation with God, our walk with God. Whether today we are sowing to the Spirit or today you are sowing to the flesh. But he says that whosoever puts himself in Christ, he says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are, what? In Christ Jesus. Let's read the story of the adulterous woman, John 8, from verse 1 to 11. You know, God is taking us on a journey tonight where we are going to obtain a victory that the devil didn't expect. So one of the prayers I was praying before coming up was that God would help us understand why he's speaking to us in this language. Because when you get to a place where your heart didn't plan for, devil will bombard you with accusation, condemnation. You know, when he will just say that you were never made for this. And then people will turn back. John 8, from verse 1
Let's open our Bibles. The screen has gone out. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought him. See, these scribes and Pharisees, they have a major course in how to accuse and how to condemn these people. Like, it's part of the curriculum. Like they just said, okay, Lamadushelenio. Then they now said, okay, let's bring an adulterous woman to him. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, with all due respect, sir. You know, whenever you say with all due respect, you are ready, you want to disrespect the person. So that's why they call him teacher. With all due respect, sir, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. Then just to make it clear, you know, maybe Jesus might be thinking maybe it's adultery in Greek or Hebrew. In the very act of adultery. Like, it's not like maybe he's worshiping other gods, you know, with God. No, this one is in the very act of adultery. Now, then he tried to also school Jesus. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Now, the Bible now revealed their heart, right? It says, this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. This was also the same instance of Daniel. And when those guys that brought up the law that people should not pray at some particular time. It was also something similar, you know. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, this is a natural picture of the enemy brings an accusation. And then you have an advocate. This is what they call, this is the job of an advocate. Where the prosecutor, right? Does not have a case anymore. Verse 10, please. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Now, this is what would always happen when Jesus is our advocate. You will not find your accusers. As no one condemned you, then she said, no one, Lord. The intention of accusation is condemnation. See, when you're being accused and you accept that state, you are rendered unfit. You now carry a label called disapproval. The reason anybody would condemn a thing is because it's no longer good for use. And so the woman was very bright to say that no one condemned her. Even though they brought what? Accusations. This is how this woman modeled how every believer should be. Because throughout all, did she say any word? You know, at times, some of us, you might try to explain your case to the lawyer. Like, lawyer, this is how it really went. It says, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to John 3. 17 to 21. For God did not send, or let's start from the popular verse. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So you can see here that if you ever say that you received condemnation, it's not from Jesus. But that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. So this corroborates Romans 8:1. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are what? In Christ Jesus. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Now, because there are two things you have invalidated. You have invalidated the judge, and you've invalidated the advocate. He says he's condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then he now explained what condemnation is here. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen. Now, you know, when I said on Sunday that when the devil accuses you, you don't bring yourself under his own beam of light. You bring yourself under this light. This is the light that can help you, and you wouldn't they won't transfer you to condemnation. From accusation, they won't move you to condemnation. That they have been done in God. Is there any other verse there? Okay, I think that's all. Let's go to Psalms 34, verse 22. Can you give it to me? Okay, it's in NKJV already. I think all my scriptures are supposed to be in KJV. Psalms 34, 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. I like this. It says, none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. See, I'm trying to help anyone that maybe you've locked up one very funny theology that God condemns. Even the one that would get to be condemned to eternal damnation is because they loved darkness. It was their choice. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. And none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Then the last place I want us to read before we move into some thoughts that I want to share with us is John 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Now that judgment there is condemnation. But has passed from death to life. Hallelujah. He says, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in the advocate, you don't believe in the power of the judge, then you will come into judgment. I think it was KJV that put it. Can you put it in KJV, please? It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. And so he says, if you believe on the Father and hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So quickly, I want us to quickly look at some areas that can help us quickly spot when one is battling or one is faced with the wiles of condemnation. And the first one I want us to see is what happened to Judas. You know, and that's a place that as a child of God you must never be. A place where you can't forgive yourself. See, devil likes that, you know, a person goes through a thing, and after that thing has happened, the problem is now that you can't forgive yourself. I mean, whether the person is now born again, it's not so much of a challenge to the devil. But the challenge is that the person is not able to leave that state. Let's look at the story of Judas. That's Matthew 27. You can start from verse 3. Oh no, let's start from 1. Then Judas, start from 1, sorry. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him. Now, there were two people that betrayed Jesus. The rock betrayed Jesus. Yeah. I mean, you know the rock now. Peter. Peter even had chance. He didn't have chance. He only did once. And this is where you can really appreciate the power of redemption. When God redeems a person. You can't lay a charge of condemnation to that person again. See, no matter how deep the story, so this person did this kind of thing then. The mystery of redemption is what still gets you twisted in, I'll be careful around this person. For this person to have done this thing, we have to be sure. He says, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? Like, Ilokonwa. Okay? See thou to that. Like, sort yourself out. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. See, anyone that truncates what God is doing is doing this to himself. Like over your life, you know, because of the worthless state that condemnation has rendered you, like, I can't do what God is wanting me to do. A lot of people went from accusation and never reached condemnation. Mary Magdalene. In the scripture, a lot of people were accused. Like terrible past. But God's power was shown in the scripture that they didn't experience condemnation. But Judas was not able to forgive himself. Like, I betrayed the blood of the innocent. And so, whenever we find our hearts in a place where we can't forgive ourselves, is a bad place. God can't walk with you there. Because at that place, what you're doing is, you're telling yourself that you have a seal of disapproval. That you are unfit. You are unfit. How many of us remember the story of Isaiah? You know, he prophesied from chapter 1 to... I love that story in school because no prophet would like that. That's a very humbling experience. No, so people can go from that, I'm a man of unclean lips, and they will never be used of God again. Or imagine if God just told you that, you've not been prophesying well. Now, you can be in this, me that have prophesied on mic. Or me that have said this. Or me that have done this. And you don't joke with redemption, no. See, and it's a gift. Because when God gives it to you, it's to ensure that you still fulfill the assignment that God has designed for you. Judas had an allotment. But this window stifled it out. Like, the first thing is, how was he inspired? It was his heart that inspired him more. It was his heart that inspired him. That, there's no hope again. There's no hope again. Like, I have betrayed the blood of the innocent. And so we have to always be careful with our heart, particularly when our heart is the one condemning us. Like, literally, you can remove your heart and put it like this and warn your heart. Yeah, you can tell your heart that if you're not careful, God can change you. And you give it the scripture, it's in Ezekiel. That God will change you to a heart of flesh. Let's look at 1 John, and let's look at what Apostle John told us to be mindful of around our heart. 1 John 3. Behold, what... No. Let's start from... We don't have time. Let's just start from verse 20. 20. Or maybe let's back it up a little. Just a little. Maybe 15, thereabout. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But this we know, love. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brothers in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, now this is what you do when your heart condemns you. God, you tell that your heart that God is greater than you. and knows all things. Can we say, my heart?
My heart.
God is greater than you. And knows all things. This is how you humble your heart. Because you know one thing, you are as old as your heart. So you are with a component that has known you forever. And so when someone says, I don't believe in myself, you know, when they say that, it's the heart that is telling them that, yeah, we know you now. Ah, you are the one that did this one. You spoiled it. You did this other one. You spoiled it. Yeah. But Bible says, if your heart tells you all of that, tell it back that God is greater than you and knows all things. I wish maybe Judas told his heart that. Because it was only betrayal that was recorded to him, not suicide. It was only all the words Jesus put forward to him was the betrayal experience. Or do we think Jesus wanted him to commit suicide? Maybe after that he would betray. They said, accosts the man. And you can, that's relative. Ah, you can go back to the person that caused you that, hey Joe. Ah, yeah. And so we wouldn't trust our heart so much, particularly when it's in this state. When it's in the state where it's bringing validation around disapproval. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the second wall of condemnation that I want us to also look at, aside from the place where the heart doesn't forgive, is also the place where you think a lot about the past. Because they are somehow even connected. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the reason why a child of God would dwell so much on the past is only an inspiration from, particularly, the past of failures. It's so much about when the enemy doesn't want you to progress. You know, we always sing this song, my days are wrapped in you. My moments are wrapped in you. Now, there's a way to enjoy that song is when you see what God is doing in that wrap. It's not so much about wrap as I've covered it. It's more about the times when I failed. They shouldn't have consequence on the new journey. So the job of the enemy when he attacks a man with condemnation, particularly when he has a lot of, Kenneth Hagin wrote one experience a while back in one of his books. I can't remember the book exactly. I think it's Love, the Way to Victory. You know, he said that there was a point in his, Kenneth Hagin now. Yes, there was a point where pastoral ministry failed. Like it wasn't successful as he would have desired it to be. So there was a particular day after that. There was a day he went to, his study, and he really wanted to have pity party. You know what pity party is now? Like Wovesharo. Like you just want to bring the whole memory back. Then you just want to sulk. You want to wail. You want to make daddy even poor. You want to cry over that too. You know, you just want to be in a state where you have moved from guilt to being condemned. And so, as he was going through the stairs down to his study, the Holy Spirit quickly intervened. That I know you want to go and have a pity party. Nobody would join you. Yeah. That was what the Holy Ghost told him. Because that journey is going to lead to condemnation. Because the enemy would, at times when you are trying to take a bold step, the enemy will tell you that you are not the bold one. It reminds, his job for reminding you about those past is so that you can get into a realm of condemnation. That I'm not worthy. I'm not certified. I was a very, 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 very bad person. Like Jesus cannot, all those things, as much as it look like you are trying to say something that makes sense, but you're actually going in a disbelieving state. When you say something like, I've done too much, Jesus cannot, No. You are as faithless as the person that took Mike on the rooftop and said there is no God. So when you bring the past and you esteem, particularly the past where God was not in it, you see it as bigger than what God can do with you. Now, you don't have a future with God. Amen. 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 How many of us have tried to get into the heart of Apostle Paul, maybe while studying his book? There's a reason he said, I've forgotten the past. It's not as though the past was all about him being a scholar. Heads were rolling. So that he said, I've left the past where the past is. He was the chief persecutor of the church. So whether there were laurels in the past or not, the past was not as, it's not so beautiful. But so let's quickly leave the past as the past. So as much as you use that scripture to say that, where God has taken us to, we leave it and we move forward. It's also much about the things that God was not involved in your past. Can we look for that scripture? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, these two areas that I'd mentioned, the place of the heart and particularly forgiveness, right? And the place of, you know, when the enemy brings a lot of the memories of the past and you have like a pity party. That's so much about him to you. But I think this third one is more about how the devil uses men to spread condemnation. And that is when you are judgmental and critical. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. I think I have some scriptures to still read. Yeah, we'd read the 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we'll go back to Romans 8:1. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to be judgmental and to have a critical spirit? Now, to have a critical spirit means when you see someone doing something. The reason why it's a critical spirit is you wish you were the one. And then your response to that is to bring it down. Oh, he's not doing much, you know, or what he's doing is not making sense. Now, at that point, when you're doing that, you've joined the enemy in bringing condemnation to bear. So at that point where, you know, the reason why someone could be judgmental at times is maybe you're not being appreciated. And then someone now gets appreciated in your presence where you were not appreciated. Now, as much as you desired but at that point, because it didn't come to you, you were not appreciative of it. And then you look down on the person that is being what? Appreciated. So when someone says, you know, when a matter is brought to my front, I critique it. Now, as much as that's a very general word that some people use, you should quickly check that spirit as well. Now, you can say you critique it from the perspective of it didn't come from you. And you wished it came from you. And so your energy was strong in looking at its defects, how it can achieve much, you know, how little it is, you know, its lifespan, when it will cut. You know, you're able to see, you know, they might say that person knows how to think far, he knows how to spot the risk. There might be another spirit that is fueling, yeah. And that's the critical spirit. And the only job that critical spirit does is to bring condemnation on something that is valid. Yeah, because where you're going to is to bring disapproval, to bring a sense of unfitness. That this thing, don't trust you guys, as much as it looks serious, you guys don't trust it. It's going nowhere. You know, recently, we in the body of Christ, we had a very young, I think maybe we could say senior pastor, Gio now. Now, if someone says, oh, blah, blah, you have a critical spirit. Because if it was your younger brother they put there, or if it was you, it's the new move of God you see. And so what the devil does through people is to become judgmental and become critical. You're quick to spot what is not solid about a thing. You know, this was what the Pharisees were doing all the time. If God had appointed one of them to be the Messiah, it wouldn't have been bad. Most likely, it would have been the greatest movement because they already had crowd. You know, when you look at the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, when they went to the temple to pray, that's a critical spirit. You know, like, how will you go to the presence of God and the first thing you can say, I am not like. At least, Shadu Ago Shami Tekoma Law. Like, literally, both of us came to church. And your prayer point is me. Do you understand? You know, like the I think in the gospel when he said, you know, you that you're trying to remove a peck from someone's eye, you have a lot. Like, how did you figure out the peck? Like how wait? You know, when you have a log in your eye, you can't see very well. So it's so strong that you are still able to see the boil in someone's eye, and yet you have a cancerous growth on the eye. It's not ordinary. It's a demon. You are being attacked. And as much as you are being attacked, you have not become a tool of attack on other people. Now, like Rick Joyner described, I think I mentioned it on Sunday. It was that critical spirit that after it had festered on these folk, they became the medium by which those that were now reaching for greater heights, they were critiquing or they were being critical of them. Oh, he's not taking the right step. It was a wrong miss. But you're not climbing. And the reason you're not climbing is you've gone through accusation, you've been condemned, and importantly, you have entered separation. That's the third one, wiles of separation. You have been cut off. See, if a man dwells in condemnation, you will be cut off. You will be cut off if you are not able to quickly use the word of God to fight your heart, to fight being judgmental and being critical, to fight every experiences that takes you back to a pity party state, you would enter into separation. Now, that's the end game. When he has cut you off completely, then he has won. He has won. You know, I don't want the devil to take glory over any one of us through these mechanisms. You know, you are in a thriving community. You would have to watch out to quickly judge your brother. You would have to watch out. He says, judge not, so that you won't be judged. Now, it's not so much about don't test. That's not where. He's saying that don't be critical of the next person. Don't be judgmental of the next person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and we'll begin to tie it up. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Please put it in KJV. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so for us that you even know the story of that brother, you must enter this faith. Yeah. You must enter that faith. For God to put himself in a place where he's looking at someone that he knows the beginning and he knows the end, and yet could say this of that person, that all things have become new. Because he knows all things. Then you that you also know that brother, you know that sister, you believe that all things have become new. It's not so much about what you know. It's much about what he has said. And like I said, you know, this is what they call the redemptive power of God. That even through our seasons, when the enemy comes, we will be able to stand against his wiles. Because we've armed ourselves with truth. We know that we were once in dark or in darkness. He translated us. We are not unwise that he moved us from one location to another. But there is not so much to dwell there. You know, at times when someone is even so much consumed with talking about what you did in the past, there's also trouble. Ah, you don't know where God saved me from. You don't know where, like, if it's not coming from a place that God has helped you, like a place of victory they've given to you, where you would save others, you will just find out that he begins to accuse you. And he begins to give you a lot of qualification why you can't be qualified. So as we leave tonight, you know, I want us to know that whenever God brings a matter to our notice, one is about the victory that he has given to us in that regard. You know, one thing that wicked and unreasonable men do is to give room for these three things to happen. They would bring accusations. If we are not careful, if we admit that we are just young, they will condemn us. Now, after they condemn us, we'll find out that which was promised to us would then yet be separated from us. Because we are no longer the man for the job. So imagine if someone just tells you and says, oh, that place, that church you are going to, immediately you... I always say two things. If you can deal with the person, deal with the person. If you can't deal with the person, cut off the person. Now, what you are doing is you are trying to stop that conversation at the accusation point. Because by the time you entertain that person, you will reach condemnation. You will find everything invalid. You will find everything disapproved. Oh, these people are not going far. I see this one. After you know it, you'll be cut. You yourself, you'll be cut off. You know, imagine if someone comes to your home and brings accusation to your husband. Like, that's enough F1 tree to carry a morugu. Yeah, like you came to the person's house to say, this is what your husband, like accuse your husband. And you know that for some ladies, that's a friend. Like Oshio Remy. But you don't know that, hey, divorce is not the basic last party. Like, it's you to separate from your husband. That's the goal. You know, Baby has told us before now. The one that's telling you, hey, you are taking nonsense. That one has reached separation. That is telling that you are still taking nonsense. And so when God has put a treasurable thing in your hand, the enemy will try to take it out with these three things. It will make attempts. It will bring people that are judgmental your way. It will bring people that are of critical spirit. And even we ourselves, we have to be careful. Like even when you catch yourself, quickly repent. Because what you are dealing with has the power of separation. Yeah. By the time he deals with you, you become the medium by which he's causing and wreaking havoc in the lives of others. So if God gives you the grace to deal with a person that is representing accusation, yes, go ahead. If you can't deal with the person, cut off. Like delete number. Did block, yeah. You know, I think it was Apostle Arome that was saying the greatest invention of WhatsApp is that block. He said, I wish I can pray for that person that did the block. He said, block. If you have never blocked anybody before, I can't trust you. Yeah, because they are wicked and unreasonable men. They are everywhere. See, this is what our parents learned, and they said, Ayewa. Because when God starts doing something with you, it's not Araye Bamiyo. It's the joy that God has given to those that will rejoice with you. Those are the only people that will rejoice. So, you know, is it not because by the time you are listening to is it not because your boss likes you? Is it not you that after a while you will find yourself on feet, and when they change the manager, you will not perform again. You will know that your light is not boss centric. It's agnostic. Any boss they bring, you will thrive. But by the time your colleague tells you that, is it not like they told me when I was in school then. Then I used to teach my programming teacher before we go into class. So I'm like, Padeleyin. Like, it is a class I would also attend and be a student. Like, it would not teach. So it was C++. But I'll quit. Okay, what's wrong? Okay, I lost the class. I'm serious. Life. So my colleagues would always say, then he hated everybody and liked me. Because that guy it was a trouble. He hated, he's the type that is a course advisor. If you don't submit your course form when you're supposed to submit it, it's not that he will punish you. He's like, see me next year. You know what that means now, like, carry over the whole session. So, yeah, he did it for my friend. And my friend, and my very close friend. Yeah. And so people always say, it's because he liked you. It's because and I didn't quickly deal with it as accusation. I thought it was a comment or compliment. Until another lecturer came, I could not perform. Because it's the same thing they were teaching. But I just thought, my favor is with this man. And that's not the way God works. He says you have favor with men, not with one man. Yeah. Then you are unsure of other men. So when they brought a sadist, they gave me a sad result. Like all of us had, including me. You know the sad result, saddest give down. Gave everybody. EF, 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 EF. Amen. Amen. And so immediately you caught it. No. God has made me a blessing. That's it. Don't allow men explain out your blessing. I say, this is how you got the miracle. Is it not this? After a while, you will find out that the blessing of God will not be as it was. Because you've not found yourself on feet. Then after a while, you've separated yourself from something that has been betrothed to you. Something that has been sworn to you. People are losing things that is theirs. People are losing things that by covenant was betrothed to them. And God can't help a man that is condemned. See, if the man cannot believe the word of God not to be condemned, you have gotten to a place that you just slip into separation. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the heritage of this house. Thank you for what you have given to us that no man will take away. Oh, thank you for the labors of our Father. Thank you that you helped him not to allow men mock him. You helped him that even when came with mocking tongues, you allowed him not to stay on the accusations. And you gave him victory over every form of condemnation. And now we have an heritage. Lord, we are so grateful that we have an example. Not just even in the scriptures, but that because we have a place here and we have a portion, is because God gave victory over every form of accusation and every attempt at condemnation. Father, we are grateful. We make our resolve tonight that every accuser will not have our ears. Every condemnation tactics will not have our heart. Amen. And every power of hell intending to separate any one of us from this heritage. Father, we snatch such one. And we establish everyone's feet upon these that God has given to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you've helped us to understand and not to be foolish of the wiles of the enemy. Thank you that you've helped us to see that overcoming is our heritage. Victory is our heritage. Blessing is our heritage. Sound health is our heritage. Safe deliveries is our heritage. Promotions is our heritage. Great marriages is our heritage. Being in the ministry is our heritage. Saving the lost is our heritage. And no man will take this from us. Thank you, our Father. This is our declaration tonight and all the days of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed.